Coming up on the Sarlacc Pit podcast, Carl LeClaire from the Wampa's Lair and Quizcast stops by to help us try to answer some of the biggest plot holes, inconsistencies, and overall questions in the Star Wars universe. We also break down the year in Star Wars and who really was behind the death of Owen and Beru Lars in this episode's Things That Make You Go, All that and more in this episode of the Sarlacc Pit podcast. It's a good one, and it starts right now.
We just got to the Sarlacc Pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yoda'sNews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit podcast, a podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit podcast is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yoda'sNews.com. And we thank Pete, Doug, Mark, and the rest of the folks over at Galactic Binder and Yoda's News for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 71 for December 18th, 2013. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt, your co-host. And let me welcome in your co-host and creator of the Sarlacc Pit podcast, Mr. Chris Hoffice Planet Smith. What's up, my friend? It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while, actually.
It's the holidays. Everybody's busy. You know, you're busy working.
Heck yeah. And holidays and Facebook and anything and everything else.
Classic Star Wars. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, Chris. We got a fun show today. We're going to be trying to answer some plot holes, some inconsistencies, and overall questions from the Star Wars saga. But before we do that, let me welcome in our guest. Yes, we do have a guest this week, folks, from the Wampa's Lair and the Quizcast, Carl LeClaire. And he's a 49er fan, by the way. Welcome back, Carl. You've been on the show before, but hey, welcome back. It's been a while.
Nothing like coming back home.
Yes, I know.
That's what it feels like. The warmth and Chris' voice, like that southern charm. Curl me up by fire.
This is where you got your start, wasn't it?
Hell yeah, it was. I mean, you guys are the reason I even listened to podcasts. So,
hey, I remember.
And then I just stole all your ideas and made them better. So,
and well, that's good.
Oh, that's me.
Hey, I remember we first met. You know, we met in a van or a bus or something, driving to the hotel for the fan days back. That was back a long time ago. But no, it was fun. We actually got you on the video podcast. I was looking at it the other day. I was going through all my videos. I just started laughing. I was like, man, that was a good time. I can't wait to meet up again at Celebration Anaheim in a couple more years. So, hey, guys, we're going to be talking about some Star Wars plot holes in a little bit. But I wanted to run down, you know, there's not a lot of news going on right now. It's kind of a slow time. I think after we get through the holidays, maybe we'll get some more news. But I just wanted to break down, kind of give you like a year in review in the Star Wars. I never get tired of hearing of that music, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, like I said, I want to go through. Actually, it's December 18th. Carl, you just brought this up. We are 2 years away from episode 7. How you feel about that, Carl?
Kind of blasé. You know, I mean, it doesn't affect me. I'm just kidding.
I don't care anyway.
Obviously, I am pumped. You know, that sounds like a long time, 2 years.
It does, but.
But it doesn't, though. I mean, then I remember how quickly 2 years go by. And, thinking of it realistically, in 2 years, we're going to have a brand new Star Wars movie. And a Star Wars movie that we literally know nothing about.
Right.
Which is so cool. And Matt, I think you made this point on one of your last shows, you know, like with the prequels, there was like a, obviously huge hype, but to a certain degree, we knew where the story was going to go without the particulars. We have no idea. And that's just exciting that in 2 years, you're going to be watching a whole new Star Wars story.
Yeah,
so,
I'm pumped.
So, I don't know. I mean, Chris, what do you, I mean, Chris, you got to be pumped too, right? Quick, right?
I am very pumped. I'm not crazy about the December thing.
He doesn't like December day.
But I don't care whenever I'm there. But see, you got to think, you know, when it comes out that first week, I want to see it as many times as possible. So, oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. I am. I'm jacked up.
Yeah, it's going to be midnight showings. It's going to be, you know, go back the next day. So, yeah, it's, and then we're going to get to come back on and talk about it on podcast. It's going to be a good times. But, you know, like I said, we're finishing out 2013, guys, and I just kind of wanted to look back, sort of a year in review, but a look back at year one of the Disney regime.
Today, I am proud to announce the Walt Disney Company is acquiring Lucasfilm, the global entertainment company founded by George Lucas and the home of the legendary Star Wars franchise.
Well, just before we go, has Star Wars gone over to the dark side? Disney has signed a £2.5 billion deal to rejuvenate the sci-fi series. But while Star Wars aficionados are pretty cock-a-hoop about the prospect of more films, there'll be a seventh in 3 years' time and another pair to follow, some are fearful about the risk of Disneyfication.
We've got good news and bad news. The bad news is Star Wars Episode 7 has lost its screenwriter. And the good news is it got two pretty good ones to replace him.
Is he or isn't he? Benedict Cumberbatch addresses rumors that he's headed to the Star Wars franchise.
I have to ask you about Star Wars. They are making the new Star Wars films. You are going to be involved.
Now, according to E! Online, a Lucasfilm source has said that the plot of the film will be an original story. This means that Episode 7 would not be an adaptation of any existing licensed Star Wars material. Not great news for those of you with your heart set on that Thrawn trilogy, but this is just a rumor for now.
And that's what it's been a lot of, guys, over the last year. It's been a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation. And we've gotten a few confirmed things, but not as much as I would have thought. You know, I thought we would have had, I don't know, something else besides just a director and, you know, a writer. But let's take a look at what's been going on, Chris and Carl. October 2012, of course, is the was the day that I'll remember for a long time. You know, we all got the text. I remember Chris texting me, and then it just went crazy from there, you know.
My gosh, it don't even seem like it's been that long, has it?
Yeah, I know, huh?
See, and that's been already over a year. So just think double that. We'll be watching Episode 7.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, there was, you know, we had the Clone Wars, and we had tons of rumors for years and years about the, you know, this television show that we were supposed to get, and nothing ever happened. And then in November of 2012, the rumors, they can barely keep up with Arndt, who is we're told that Arndt is writing the first treatment, I guess, or whatever. And we didn't know who this was. I mean, I was like, who's Michael Arndt? I mean, who's this guy? He wrote Toy Story 3 and Little Miss Sunshine. I never saw Little Miss Sunshine, but I saw Toy Story 3, thought it was good. So, November of 2012. We got the announcement of Michael Arndt. Have you ever seen Little Miss Sunshine, Carl?
I've never seen it. I've heard it's amazing, but I've never seen it.
Okay, Chris, you? No?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, neither have I. It's not in my repertoire of movies. You know, I have to see something blowing up or lightsabers, and then I'll watch it. December of 2012. Disney officially completes the purchase of Lucasfilm. We get some stuff from Kathleen Kennedy. She talks about, you know, cleaning house. And then Rick McCallum has this kind of unceremonious departure from Lucasfilm as he's let go to do other things. And then we start getting the rumors of J.J. Abrams. Actually, we got the rumors of J.J. trying to find different ways of saying, I'm not going to do Star Wars. You remember those rumors when he first started coming out? Like, he was saying, no, I'm not doing it. You remember that, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. I was really wanting to, I would have loved to have seen him do it. And that was really disappointing to hear him say that.
Right, yeah.
Maybe it was just a ploy. Who knows?
Yeah, well, he was knee-deep in Star Trek, and we were all like, well, he's doing that. But so far, so good. Carl, I know you guys have talked about it a little bit on the Wampus Lair podcast. But, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming you're still in favor of Abrams. You like what he's done?
Oh, yeah, I love J.J. Abrams. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I hope we get tons of lens flares, too.
I know, everybody jokes a bit about that, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah, I don't mind it. That from him. I mean, yeah. Everything he's made is so uniquely different.
Right.
So you can't typecast him at all.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
And a student of Spielberg, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pumped. The thing I like about Abrams is he's like a big budget filmmaker, like Steven Spielberg, but I think I just find him to be, but he also has that like independent mind of a, you know, an indie filmmaker. So like he can come up with like kind of interesting, unique ideas and original ideas, but still apply it to like a big budget film. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So, you know, he's the mystery guy, you know, he likes to throw these mysteries into some of his stuff. So, hey, I'm excited for what he's doing. January, we got some stuff from Vulture, the magazine or the website, claiming that Zack Snyder was going to take over. And we got a lot of information or rumors about different directors, and he was one of the bigger ones. And of course, he's done Man of Steel and he's gone on to do that. And I think he's doing the new Batman, Superman one, I think. And then also in January, the ABC was talking about some live action Star Wars TV show. And we lost episode 2 and 3 in 3D, which I think, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but they might be bringing those back. Did you hear that, Chris?
I heard a little something on it, but nothing that's to get excited about yet.
Nothing though. Like concrete or anything. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I heard something about episode 2 possibly coming out in 3D, and then maybe they're going to go back to that. Well, again, I don't know, but this is when the time when Disney's like, they buy Lucasfilm, and this is January 2013 of this year, and they're just kind of like cutting stuff left and right, cutting this, cutting that. Clone Wars is canceled, you know, Battlefront's gone, get rid of the episodes 2 and 3. So they were doing a lot of pulling and not a lot of here you go. But February 2013, the company promises 2 spinoffs about Han Solo and Boba Fett. And we got we started getting these rumors about spinoff movies. So that was kind of cool. And then we heard that Simon Kinberg was involved, as well as the man, Lawrence Kasdan, which we were all pumped about here in the Starlight Pit, right, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lawrence Kasdan. I was just like, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, we'll talk about more of him in November of this year. But, Carl, spinoff movies. What was your feeling on the spinoff movies? Is there any particular character you want to see, or does it matter to you?
I would love to see one on IG-88, to be honest. I'm just kidding. Or the Sarlacc, or the Rancor Keeper. That would be a good one.
Oh, yeah. McKinney or something?
Yeah. I mean, especially when they announced the Han Solo one, I thought that would be really cool. I think that would be a really good standalone film, as would a Boba Fett film. Mm-hmm. But my hesitation now, with some time to think about it, is I'm really worried that Disney's going to cheapen Star Wars, like they cheapened so much other stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say I don't want more Star Wars movies. Of course I do. But just think about it. If they had been making Star Wars movies from 1977 until today, like every couple of years, would we, you know, have the time to digress and digest all this like rich detail of each of these films? You wouldn't, because you'd be so busy just talking about the new stuff. I think there's something to be said about not overproducing. And that's what I'm worried with Disney. Like a couple standalone films down the road, that'd be awesome. But one every other year? No, thank you. Like that's just, when you oversaturate, you're never going to kill my love for Star Wars, but it'll almost become exhausting. yeah. You know, give us some time to enjoy, you know, like when you have a great meal, right? You don't just run right out and get something again. Like you sit and digest it. Like that's what Star Wars is. That's why we have, you know, these podcasts, because we have these 6 films where there's so much richness to them. When you start making all these other spinoff films, you kind of cheapen it. So I'm sure a lot of people will get pissed at me for saying that. And like, again, I'm not saying I don't want more Star Wars, but you don't need one every other year. So
yeah,
that's my opinion.
Yeah, it's so wild that we go from, you know, the Lucas era of Star Wars where everything is just drawn out. I mean, movies take 3 years to make, and this huge gap in between the trilogies, and you get to Disney has it now, and they're saying, hey, you're going to get Star Wars every year. Boom, boom, boom. We're giving you a TV show. Hey, Netflix, they got a deal going on for some kind of thing. Hey, cartoons, here you go. Here's Rebel. It's like, whoa, we go from, you know, the Lucas era of wait for everything and you're not going to get anything anymore, you know, to just boom, we're going to just go crazy on you, which is cool. I mean, it's one of those things where I guess maybe for me, I'm going to wait and see how it goes. You know, if they're making quality stuff, I'll be pumped. But you're right, Carl. I mean, I think there is an argument to be said about, you know, how much are you going to put out there? Chris,
well,
what do you think?
They're looking at following the same mold as they did with Marvel.
Marvel, right, yeah, right.
You know, having all these side movies lead up to the Avengers and that type of thing, which is great, but Star Wars and Marvel is two different things. You know, Marvel, I mean, good grief, look at how many comic series are out right now in Marvel, probably 30 or 40, if not more. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars, how many does Star Wars have running right now? Maybe 6?
Right.
That are actually running. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It does kind of scare me a little bit, but because, you know, with Star Wars, it's like what Carl was saying. We had the original trilogy, and then it kind of went away. We had the dark years, and then, hey, we had the prequels, and then we had a smaller lull, not as bad as the original one, but a smaller lull. Till we get into this next generation, and then all of a sudden, bam, it goes to Disney, and they're just kind of getting their ducks in a row. It looks like they're going to hit it full tilt, but I think they'll kind of, I hope they'll kind of step back and spread it out a little bit more, especially with the films.
Right, yeah, the films are the big thing. Yeah, the TV stuff, I'm cool with. And I want to see, you know, if you're going to do a spin-off movie on Boba Fett, let me see it after the Sarlacc Pit. I mean, then you'll... Didn't you really have me jazzed for something on Boba Fett? Hey, in March of 2013, this is when Disney announces that it's taking Lucas Animation in a new direction. They canceled the Clone Wars, like I said earlier. And, you know, they promised more story arcs, which we haven't seen yet. But hopefully in 2014, we'll get those. And then they postponed, which I was kind of bummed with Detours. I know a lot of people weren't, you know, didn't really care and thought it was kind of goofy. I was kind of looking forward to Detours. It looked like a fun little romp with some cool animation and you know the wizards of Sinereich and Seth Green. So I was kind of bummed about that. April, some more stuff. Video game. This is what I talked about earlier. Video games start. They closed down Battlefront, but they promised. Or no, they closed down Star Wars 13. I'm sorry. They promised us, hey, you're going to get Battlefront. So everybody was like hugely excited about that, and we saw some images from Star Wars 13 that look really cool. So, but that's, you know, we're getting Battlefront. Everybody's excited about that. What else happened in April? See, oh, this is when I just mentioned this earlier. The plan to release new Star Wars film every single year, alternating between numerical chapters and the spinoffs. In May, Chris, Carl, May, we got, of course, Star Wars Day on May 4th. And then J.J. embarks on his tour of his other franchise. And basically what he's doing is he's going to promote a different franchise. But everybody wants to know about Star Wars. Because at this time, he's finally, you know, admitted that he's doing Star Wars. And so that's cool. But, you know, it's funny. Like I said earlier, everything I saw him on when he was doing a promotion for Star Trek or whatever it was, everybody wants to know about Star Wars. I mean, that shows you where you know where it's going. You know, it's like, yeah, you know where the right franchise is. And it's funny that he left and he's not doing Star Trek anymore. He's strictly staying with Star Wars. And then, of course, we got the announcement of the new animated series Rebels. Carl, I don't know if I've ever gotten your take on Rebels. What do you think about this new animated series Rebels?
Oh man, I'm pumped. I think it'll be awesome. Okay. Oh yeah. I mean, the fact that they're using a lot of the same people as Clone Wars, I think we're going to get something similar to Clone Wars. You know, awesome animation, really good storytelling, and in an era that is awesome. Like, I was getting sick of the Clone Wars era. Not the series, just the era.
Right, yeah.
I want to see TIE Fighters. I want Star Destroyers. I want to see Darth Vader kill some Jedi. Like, you know, like, we've seen so little of that. I mean, even when we thought back to the prequels, like, we all were so pumped to see Darth Vader. We get to see him in his costume for all of a minute, and he's not doing anything cool.
Right.
So, like, I think it would, I don't think Darth Vader will be a central character in the series, but I'm sure we'll see him. I think it's going to be great. I'm really pumped for it.
So, yeah, and the time for, like you said, time period is right in my wheelhouse. I was so wanting something to happen. I didn't even care what it was. If it was live action, you know, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, didn't they say, I think it's supposed to take place 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, right? That's when it starts up?
Right, yeah. So they're leaning more toward, or skewing more towards the end of that particular era and getting real close to Star Wars.
That should mean that Luke and Leia are around 10.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
So it's actually like right in that in-between stage.
And just think about it.
Because it's like a 20-year span, and they're starting up right in the middle of that, which is kind of cool.
So that means you're going to have a Han and a Lando that are around 20, 22-ish?
Yeah.
Which will be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a cool time, because if you started it right after Revenge of the Sith, there wouldn't be a whole lot going on, because I'm sure that things stay pretty legit. The Rebellion probably doesn't grow until later.
Right.
Because Palpatine's so powerful at the end of Revenge of the Sith, nobody's going to cross him, you know?
It'll be interesting to see how the Empire is doing in this time period, how they're building things up and everything, and I'm sure we'll see the Death Star at some point.
What kind of schools do they have? You know, things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. They have good libraries.
They got good libraries.
Important things.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see, what else? June 2013, like I said, Battlefront, Electronic Arts announces Battlefront. Everybody's pumped about that. And we started getting these casting call rumors about who they're looking for, you know, fit people, 20, 21, females, males, stuff like that, you know, military guy in his 40s. We started getting rumors about that. July of 2013, hey, John Williams is definitely coming back. So we got the information about another confirmed, besides J.J., was John Williams. So that was, everybody was pumped about that. I was too. I mean, come on, can you do a Star Wars movie without John Williams? I mean, it would be tough. It would be really tough. August of 2013, we find out that Episode 7 will be shot on film rather than digital. And some people think it's no big deal. I think it's kind of cool, you know, it's kind of going back to the old days and, you know, JJ's taking this approach and the writers are of kind of taking it back to the roots. So I was kind of happy about that.
Mm-hmm. What that means to me is there's going to be more practical effects as opposed to CGI.
I mean, I would think so. JJ's not one to shy away from doing a practical effect. I mean, we got the rumors that they're building this giant, actually it's already built, this Millennium Falcon over in the studio, Pine Studios, I think it is. Pinewood Studios. Did you guys hear that rumor about the Millennium Falcon being built?
Can you wait to see pictures of that?
Yeah. So there's that. So like I said, I don't think JJ is too shy about doing practical stuff. So you could be right, Chris. Maybe that is. And that'd be good. That'd be good. September 2013. Let's see what's going on in September. Yeah, again, more stuff, more spinoff origin films are confirmed. More rumors are going around. Michael B. Jordan is kind of the first guy to come out and say, "Yeah, I went to the audition. I auditioned for Star Wars," and he kind of broke the news that he actually did it. Because everybody else is saying, "No, I didn't audition. I didn't do it. You know, no, I'm not looking to be in Star Wars." Yeah, right. So he was kind of the first one to come out and say something about it. Then we get into some newer stuff here. October 2013, Lucasfilm announces that Abrams and Kasdan will now handle the writing duties and Art is off the project. And this was one that, you know what, we're probably not going to find out exactly what happened until we get a making of whatever Episode 7's title is years from now from J.W. Rinzler when he does it. You know, it's going to be one of those because there's been, you know, people say that he actually got taken off the project because they didn't like where it was going. I don't know, but the fact that Kasdan is involved kind of makes me feel at ease. I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
Yes, very much at ease, because when I hear his name, I think of Empire, because he worked on Empire, and then he worked on Jedi as well, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. So he knows how George Lucas thinks. He knows how George Lucas wants the story to develop. So I was super excited. I was put at perfect ease when I heard his name.
Yeah, I know. It was good. And he's working with JJ on the script. And I think Kasdan, I'm more excited about working on this than Abrams. You know, I think he's a great director. I don't know how good of a writer he is. I know what Kasdan can do, and I know what he wanted to do with Return of the Jedi. Lucas kind of pulled the reins on him a little bit with some things that he wanted to do, and I don't know. I think now he's going to have a little more, carte blanche to kind of do some stuff. So I'm looking forward to see what he comes up with. But yeah, we lose Arndt, but we get those two guys, so that's great. And then, of course, the last couple months here, November to December, we get the pushback from May to December for a release for Episode 7, and this kind of has something to do with a little bit with the writing team. And then we find out that R2-D2 was confirmed.
Duh.
Yeah, R2-D2. And what was really cool was that, like, the fans, the builders, are actually the ones that are going to be involved in this, which is, how awesome is that?
Yeah, that is a big honor.
Yeah, big honor. It makes you think, can the 501st, can they somehow get involved in this? Because their stuff is rivals anything that they could do in a costume shop.
You're right.
So who knows? You never know. But it's kind of neat to see the R2-D2 guys get some fun and get to play around in Episode 7. And then, of course, we got the Episode 7 script has got a timeline. They're looking at January for this thing to be done, guys. So Episode 7 script should be done by January. And they're looking at a $200 million budget, which is not really a surprise to me. I mean, to give you guys a comparison, like, let's say a summer movie like, what's the giant robot movie? I'm trying to think of the darn thing.
Pacific Rim.
That had a budget around $150 million. Lord of the Rings just came out. That was about $225 million. So they're looking in that range. And, of course, it's no surprise that the budget is going to be, because this thing is going to be effects laden, some great stuff. So that's kind of been the year in a brief moment there, a year in review of what's been going on since Disney has bought Lucasfilm. What do you think, Chris? What did I miss? I know I missed a ton of stuff. We kind of just gleamed over it. But yeah. Anything else that you want to mention or you're excited about or just
really not a whole heck of a lot. Like you said, we really haven't gotten a whole lot confirmed.
Yeah.
And, it's funny when people started posting up that picture of R2-D2 and stuff, it didn't even register with me. Oh, R2's there. I was like, well, duh. I mean,
yeah.
I was like, well, where's 3PO? I mean,
right.
You got to have one. You got to have the other, so.
Yeah, how could they not have the other? Come on. He's got to be in it. Yeah. I'm not too worried about that. But, Carl, anything else you're excited about? Star Wars, of course, Episode 7, but anything else over the last year that's got you jazzed up? Or are you just ready to go?
I'm just ready to go, man.
Yeah. You're just ready, just jazzed about talking to me, of course.
Obviously. Always good to have somebody else who bleeds red and gold, man.
Yeah, I know. Hey, that's right. That's right. Red and gold right here, baby.
Oh, my God.
So that's been the news. That's been the news. Hopefully, when we start next year, we'll have some more stuff rolling out, and we'll get some, actors confirmed, and who knows? Maybe we'll even get
here's
a story.
Can I say my biggest disappointment in announcements for 2013?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's only one.
Okay.
Still no confirmation of the big three. That really bothers me.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, I'm still 90% sure that they'll be in it. But it's really driving me nuts that they can't officially announce it. Chris, you're like my little Yoda. What do you think?
Doesn't really bother me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
do you think they'll be in it?
Yeah, I think they will be in it. I think Billy Dee probably won't, from what we've heard. And what's surprising to me is we haven't heard anything about Anthony Daniels. That's really shocking because I don't recall hearing anything about 3PO or Anthony Daniels. I mean, now that we have this picture of showing R2's going to be there, I'm like, hello? where's the other one? Because they're a pair.
Yeah.
I mean, they go together. So
it just makes me wonder if the big three are coming back, because there was starting to be some rumors about, maybe one of them or a few of them weren't going to be in the first one, maybe the second one. I don't know. You just hear everything under the sun about different rumors. So
I really think that Carrie and Mark are there. Mm-hmm. I think Harrison's the one that they haven't got a deal with him. That's kind of how I'm feeling. I'm kind of feeling like, okay, he hasn't made up his mind. They haven't come to terms with him yet. And once that's settled, then they'll announce. Because like I said, they're not going to announce it separately. They're going to wait and have all of them.
Well, I mentioned this last podcast, Carl, that, you know, it's just like, I'm kind of like done with this already. I mean, is it really that big? I mean, what are we waiting for? I mean, why does it take so long to announce, like, that these people are in the movie? What's the big deal? I mean, maybe is it the script? I mean, could it be that the script is not done and they're, you know, maybe they haven't gotten far enough yet? I don't know. Maybe that's it.
Because you know,
it's just bizarre.
You know, as soon as they do make the announcement, everybody will be like, "All right, okay."
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, we're so ready for it. We're just like, big deal.
So, way past, the big three, that it's just, okay, what's next? Hello? Give us something else. we've known this. Give us something else. You know, that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, like I said, January 2014, we got a lot of good stuff coming up, Rebels, and then hopefully some good news coming
out. Disney seems to be like, they're waiting and waiting to make this a huge surprise. Well, got news for them. It's not going to be a surprise, no matter what. It'll be a surprise if they don't do it.
Right. That'll be the bigger surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If they're not in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's what's been going on the last year or ever since Disney bought Lucasfilm. Carl, we're going to transition into a segment that I've been doing for a little while now, and it's called
Things
That
Make
You Go, Hmm.
Your last one blew my mind, Cranky. It blew my mind.
Okay, the last one was the Vader one, right?
Yeah. Dude, that blew my mind. I almost did a Carl's Corner on the Wampas there just to comment on it. It was so awesome.
What was it again? What was it?
You were talking about how like Vader is just like addicted to the dark side. Did he ever really turn? I loved that idea.
Yeah.
That like, did he really ever turn? When you first posed the question, Matt, like I'm sitting in my car listening to it, and I'm like, "Yeah, idiot, have you seen the movies?" okay, I would never call you idiot.
No, I know.
Like, I was like, "Yeah, come on, dude. Of course he did. He killed all those kids."
Right.
But that's a good point, though. Like, I was just like, "Oh my gosh!" Though it is like it's like somebody who's super desperate. Because, you know, like you brought up, you know, he's only doing this for Padme. It's pretty much like he'll do anything. And he becomes addicted to the dark side simply because it becomes a means to an end. I don't know that he's necessarily totally like, yep, I fully accept the ways of the Sith. Like, this is my new jam. Like, this is what I want to be. I think it's more of just, it's a stepping stone to something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that idea. That was like, oh, that was so deep.
Yep.
Good job, guys.
I think he was pulled so much inside from both sides. For so many years that he didn't know which way was up.
Yeah, the writing of it is pretty clever because, at one point, like you said, Carl, I mean, he's killing kids. But then at another moment, he's going to the dark side and he's telling you that he's doing it because he just wants to save Padme. I mean, he just wants to learn how to save her. So it's really weird. I think about these things sometimes when I'm watching it and things will cross my mind. Today I want to take you guys I'm going to stretch it out probably as far as I ever have.
Isn't our topic kind of along the same lines, though?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to take you guys to who really was behind the death of Owen and Beru Lar. Things that make you go,
things that make you go,
break it down. All right, let me break it down to you, Carl, besides my funky 90s CNC music factory. So here's what it is. I'm stretching it, and Chris, you know what I'm going to talk about, and it's kind of a stretch, I know, but somebody brought it up to me, and we started talking about it, and I was like, yeah, it kind of makes you scratch your head for a minute. I'm going to take you guys to Star Wars, okay? I want you guys to picture this scene. As you're listening to this small little quick clip here, picture this scene and then we'll talk.
You just want to slaughter Jawas. If they traced the robots here, they may have learned who they sold them to, and that would lead them back home.
Oh, wait, Luke! It's too dangerous!
Come on!
And
like I said, I wanted you guys to picture that, because let me take you to the death. Now, we get to this scene, and like you know, Luke rolls up, and he sees the burning carcasses of Owen and Beru. You know, and we're led to believe that, you know, the stormtroopers came in, did some damage, tried to find the droids, and they took off. But when have you ever seen a stormtrooper with a blaster kill somebody and they turn to a burnt up carcass? And like I said, I'm stretching it, I know, but it came up in a conversation with one of my friends about Star Wars, and we thought, you know, was there somebody else involved in this particular death, in this track down? And immediately we started talking about Boba Fett. And of course, who out there has the weapons to burn somebody to a crisp down to their bones but Boba Fett and his flamethrower? Now, of course, there's no indication of this in the movie, right? There's nothing that says, I mean, we haven't even been introduced to Boba Fett yet, but he was in the Star Wars special, and I know, I don't know if he was ever thought of in when Lucas was writing this. I don't know if he ever came up whether he was going to put Boba Fett in earlier or not, but I don't know. It's just kind of fun to think, you know, maybe Boba Fett was behind and helped find, you know, maybe he was tapped to help find the plans, right? And he went down with them and fried up Owen and Beru and then took off to do another bounty or something like that. I don't know. What do you think, Carl? Am I stretching it too much to think that? A little out of the universe there a little bit? How could they get burnt like that? I mean, they're outside of the house, right? And their little hut is not burnt down. There's just a little bit of smoke coming from the inside, right? Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, I just watched the scene just a couple days ago, and one of the other huts is burning. But, you know, why are they so burnt to a crisp like that? I don't know. I don't know that a blaster would do that. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've just never thought about it like that. I don't see Boba Fett playing a part in it. Here's why I say that.
He was Cad Bane.
Screw Cad Bane. Such a has been. I love Jason. I get Jason really riled up because he loves Cad Bane and he doesn't like Boba Fett. So, and I'm like the reverse. I'm like a normal Star Wars fan. I love Boba Fett. not that most Star Wars fans don't like Cad Bane. I think he's overrated. I think if you think about it though, Star Wars: A New Hope, it's very different. The violence stylistically is much different in Episode 4 than any other Star Wars film. So I think it had something more to do with the way it was filmed than anything to do with the story. So maybe I'm getting off of your point here. But think about when Obi-Wan cuts off Ponda Baba's arm. There's blood. Right. There's never blood when somebody gets cut with a lightsaber.
Okay.
I don't know. My guess is they just, I don't know. Maybe
they went too far with
a flamethrower. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, I don't see Boba Fett playing a part in that.
It's the limitations of the filming then, and they just wanted to show him dead. But
right.
I don't know. It was just odd because, you know, they shot blaster shots in the beginning when the rebels were boarded, and you know the guys were just going down from blaster shots. They weren't disintegrating or burning up or anything. I don't know. Or you know, like you said, maybe they just shot him and then burned him and then drug him. I don't know. It's so bizarre that they would, you know, burn him or shoot him and then burn him and then drag him up. Or were they trying to climb out and something happened? I don't know. It's just one of those things I thought about when I saw that. It just piqued my interest. Like, that's kind of weird. Chris, I know we talked about this before. Yeah. What do you think?
I could make it a little more plausible, I think. I don't see Boba Fett. I see sand troopers. As you see, the sand troopers, they had other types of big, heavy machinery, blasters and stuff. So I am sure that they had flamethrowers at some point. And that's just kind of where I would, I could picture them in the hut and, you know, setting them on fire and aunt and uncle as they run out and up the steps. And that's as far as they get. And they just collapse.
Right.
But if you want to stretch it even further,
Yeah.
We look at Force Lightning. If you remember Luke, when Palpatine is just hitting him and hitting him and hitting him, and when he, every time he stopped, you see smoke coming off of him. So who's to say,
right?
If somebody just didn't go ballistic with Force Lightning, what would that do to a body?
Oh, we've seen, yeah, like you said, we've seen what it can do. I mean, Palpatine gets disfigured big time. So, yeah, I don't know. That's another point.
I kind of like to say a Trooper Thigmo.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, it's just kind of funny, you know. You see that, I always see that, and I'm just like, ah, it's just, I don't know. I don't see Stormtroopers doing that. But in any event, that just kind of makes you think, and hopefully you guys thought about that. And maybe let me know. If you have a better reasoning for what's going on, definitely write us or let us know. So let's transition into our main topic. Like I said, we're going to be talking about trying to answer some plot holes and some inconsistencies. And I just have a couple of questions to see if we can figure them out.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
Carl, I know you got to take off here in a few minutes, but I got to get your take on maybe just a couple of these before you go. I'm going to start off, guys, with just a couple of questions. These are not necessarily plot holes. These are just some big time and arguably some of the bigger questions that come out of the Star Wars saga. And the first one has to do with Anakin and the virgin birth.
Had he been born in the Republic, we would have identified him early. The Force is unusually strong with him. That much is clear. Who was his father?
There was no father. I carried him. I gave birth. I raised him. I can't explain what happened. Can you help him?
I don't know. I didn't actually come here to free slaves.
Carl, this is one I really wanted to ask you because...
Frankie, you just made my night. that was so kind of you. You know, here we are preparing for Christmas, the virgin birth of Jesus, for those of us that believe that. You know, so good. Yeah. So good.
I had to bring this up. This is one of those questions that it's really powerful because Lucas he's never been afraid to say that his when he was writing this, I mean, it's definitely got a lot of religious overtones to it. And whatever your faith is, I know me and you, Carl, we kind of were on the same side here. It just reminds you of course, Jesus. And is this where he was going with this? And are we ever going to find out, you know, was there a father? I mean, was he created by the Force? Was he created by Plagueis? Was he created by Palpatine? What really was going on here? It's just a crazy, fascinating, like, thing that, a question that I don't think we're ever going to get an answer to. But it's fun to speculate on what could happen. Carl, what do you think? I mean, this is kind of down your alley. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really cool point. I don't know if either of you have read the Darth Plagueis thing. I always say his name wrong.
Yeah,
Darth Plagueis novel. Did either of you read that?
I'm halfway through it.
No, I haven't.
Okay, I got halfway through it, Matt, and I just never picked it up again. I was getting really bored, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, I've heard how great it is. Sometimes, like, I feel like if I went back to it, I could probably get into it again. I don't know if that novel deals with that question or not. I mean, because obviously a lot of that novel is talking about how Plagueis can kind of create life. The whole Anakin thing, I mean, I think the reason George Lucas is putting that into the story is because of the fact that he's very open about the fact that he taps into a lot of the, you know, big religious stories and not just even Christianity. I mean, Eastern religions even more so. Mm-hmm. But this virgin birth, I think, what he's trying to designate is clearly that Anakin is the chosen one. And I think there is that air of mystery about it. I mean, Anakin is definitely not Jesus because he's far from perfect.
Right.
Yeah. But I think he is trying to go that route with this story point, is just trying to say that clearly Anakin is important. So if I can be a theology teacher for like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Chris is all like, oh, geez.
please,
just
please.
Kidding. But actually, like, even the stories about Jesus's virginal birth, and, you know, people that are a little more conservative would probably get upset that I'm going to say this, but actually those stories are exactly that. They're stories. Virgin birth stories are not unique to Christianity. They're big in Buddhism and Hinduism as well. And basically those stories are meant to say this person being born is important and special. The reason that, and by the way, only 2 of the 4 Gospels mention Jesus' virginal birth. The reason they're doing that is simply to say that Jesus is definitely God, because only God could be born from a virgin. That's the whole point of that. It's not focusing so much on the virginity as it is the fact that it clarifies that this child is God. And I think that's what George Lucas, in a sense, is doing with the Anakin part, is he's trying to say that Anakin is kind of a creation of the Force. It comes from the Force. Anakin, in a way, has this great embodiment of the Force. I mean, granted, like we see later in the film, like his midichlorian count, whether or not you like the ideas of midichlorians, again, even that point is just trying to say that there is something unique about Anakin's ability to be attuned to the Force. I think that's really what that point is. I think there will always be an air of mystery to it, which is cool, because then we can always speculate. Yeah. But, like, you know, Shmi's response is pretty cool. She's like, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's like, yeah. Of course not.
Right. So Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She even says that, Chris. She says, hey, I can't explain it. I don't know what happened. I'm just pregnant all of a sudden, you know? So what do you think, Chris? I mean, one of these answers or one of these questions that maybe we don't need an answer to, right? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, this is kind of how I've come to peace with it. I mean, I'm a Christian, so we haven't really talked much about that on the show because this is Star Wars. But I always had the feeling, especially after seeing Revenge of the Sith and seeing the conversation in the Grand Hall, whatever the show that Anakin and Palpatine are sitting there talking.
Right.
I kind of have the feeling that Palpatine, you know, he talks about Plagueis being able to create life from the Force. I think Palpatine is the one that created Anakin. Mm-hmm. He did it, and once he accomplished that, then he realized he didn't need Plagueis, and he killed him. Now, like I said, I haven't read any of the books. I don't know any. This is just strictly where my mind went, and it seems comfortable to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to fit that, yeah, he was created by the Force. That's definite. We know that. But who did it? You know, who?
Right.
Somebody tapped into it. And I always liked what George Lucas said. He had said this a long time ago when he, like you said, Carl, he went through all of the various religious, the big religions, I should say, you know, Christianity, the Eastern, Buddhism, all that. And he stripped it down to the bare essentials that were common in all of them, and that's where he created the Force from. And that's why it had such an impact all over the world, is because every religion could
take something from it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, they took something out of it, which was, I mean, ingenious. Right. And it wasn't. He wasn't doing it that way. He wasn't doing it so that'll be popular. He was doing it so that everybody would have a chance to understand and grasp it. So, I mean, all in all, he was a genius.
Yeah, I know. It's a really cool scene, and I love that scene because you're just like, whoa, I mean, this is really getting deep. And I haven't read Carl, you haven't finished the play just now. I haven't either. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt the same way about the Kenobi novel. I told Chris this. I got kind of half, 3/4 of the way through it, and I just haven't had the desire to finish it. And, you know, I don't know. It's just maybe I was so pumped up about Kenobi, and, you know, I thought he was going to be fighting all the time, and it's not like that. So, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Let me encourage you though. Kenobi gets awesome. I felt the same way. The beginning was very slow to me as well. I remember texting Jason because he read it in like 2 days. And I was like, dude, it's so boring right now. And he's like, just get through that first, he's like, get through the first little bit, and it gets really good. Okay. And it does. The ending is phenomenal.
Okay, maybe that's what I got
to do. It says more, it's more about, like, character development than it is straight up action, but the action at the end is pretty legit.
Okay.
So, cool. Think like Western Shootout. Right. And within Star Wars, and that's the end of that novel is.
Now you're going to make me want to sit down and read, and I've got it, but I haven't started on it.
Oh, Chris, yeah. It's awesome, dude.
Okay, I got to get back to it.
It is a slow start. I'll give you guys that, because I almost put it down myself. But okay. Once you get over that hurdle and Kenobi does start to become a regular part of the story, it's awesome.
Okay.
So,
I'll get
and he interacts with Qui-Gon a lot, so.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
Well,
that's,
actually, he
that's
doesn't interact.
Part.
He talks to Qui-Gon a lot.
He talks to them, yeah. Those are cool scenes. I like those scenes.
Yeah.
Speaking of some, I guess, well, Qui-Gon 2 and Obi-Wan. Hey, you got time for one more, Carl?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is not necessarily, again, not another plot point, but a huge question, and it looks like we're going to get an answer to this. So let's check this out.
Master Cipher DS, that his order will be met on time.
I'm sorry, it's Master...
Jedi Master Cipher Diaz is still a leading member of the Jedi Council, is he not?
Master Cipher Diaz was killed almost 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But I'm sure he would have been proud of the army we've built for him.
The army?
Yes, a clone army. And I must say, one of the finest we've ever created.
Tell me, Prime Minister... When my master first contacted you about the army, did he say who it was for?
Of course he did. This army is for the Republic. But you must be anxious to inspect the units for yourself.
That's why I'm here.
So we get the question about Cipher Diaz, and this was one of the ones when I remember watching episode 2, and I come out of the theater and I go... That was like the main thing. I go, I want to know more about this Cipher Diaz. This is a major, major question that we got no resolution to. And as you're listening to that, you can kind of think, okay, Cipher Diaz, he was around 10 years ago. Somehow he was involved in this. I mean, who ordered him to do this or who ordered the clones? And it sounds like, Carl, we're going to get an answer to that in some of these Clone Wars bonus contest. So it sounds like actually this Cipher Diaz might actually be a Jedi that was around 10 years ago. Have you heard anything about that?
I didn't realize he was going to be in the Clone Wars. That's awesome. Well, not in him, but like mentioned or something. That point to me always, the way I always interpreted that, and I don't know if this is canon or not. I feel like it might be, though. Uh-huh. Cipher Diaz was a Jedi who was good friends with Count Dooku. So actually, this is mentioned. Cipher Diaz is mentioned a lot in the novel *Labyrinth of Evil*. It takes place right before *Revenge of the Sith*. It's an awesome book. But Dooku, there's a lot of Dooku's development in there, and a lot of his thoughts. And he talks about Cipher Diaz a lot. He was a good friend of Count Dooku's. Mm-hmm. So my understanding is that Count Dooku killed Cipher Diaz as part of his entrance into the like his Sithmanship or whatever. I think like Palpatine kind of staged that so that Dooku could show his allegiance to the Sith, and mm-hmm. I think he pretends to be Cipher Diaz.
Okay.
Rather than, like, if it were to ever be discovered, at least it's like a legit Jedi as opposed to, you know, Count Dooku, who's left the Jedi Order. Mm-hmm. That was always my understanding of it. Or he somehow tricks Cipher Diaz into doing it and then kills him.
Right.
But I feel, to me, Count Dooku and Sidious are the ones pulling those strings.
Cipher Diaz
is like a pawn. So,
yeah, I would think so. And my first inclination, was that, of course it was Dooku. You know, he pretended to be Sipho and then killed him. But then we got this trailer about Sipho Diaz and who ordered the clone army in the Clone Wars. This bonus content that I'm talking about. That, like I said, maybe this he is going to be a character, and maybe there is more to it than there's certainly. They're certainly teasing us, Chris, that there's going to be more to this Cipher Diaz story than maybe what we just think. It's just Dooku pretending. So, do you have any comments on that?
I mean, that's exactly what I thought it was. I mean, I just assumed since Cipher Diaz was killed before this took place that Dooku just came in and said that's who he was and they believed him and, they went on about it. But I mean, yeah, it would be great to find out exactly what happened, but yeah, I'm okay with it if it's never answered.
Well, I don't know that, you know, they mentioned Tanhui and the other one, Mama Sue. You know, they mentioned meeting. Did they say something about meeting with Sifo Dyas? So if, you know, Dooku couldn't come back because it's a totally different person, so he'd either have to do it another way. He couldn't show up because, hey, you're not Sifo Dyas. Who are you? So maybe he did some kind of a voice thing. You know, I don't know. So that's why it's always been kind of a little puzzling to me. Like, you know, how are they going to explain this one? So just another question I had. One more thing, Carl?
Yeah. But I have – can I say something quick?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You really are like – this is not what I was expecting when you told me when Chris told me like what the show topic was. When you said like plot holes, what I was thinking – like while I was watching Empire last night. I don't know. So I'll ask you guys because you guys are big Empire
fans. We'll get
like
more into plot holes, believe me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But the scene when, you know, the Falcon detaches from the Star Destroyer and, the you know, and floats away with the garbage and then they blast off towards, you know, Bespin. And the Slave One is literally like 100 meters behind it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Is there no like rear
how
view?
How does he not see him?
Yeah, how is there no rear view window like in the Millennium
yeah.
Falcon?
Yeah.
Like that's that, I always was. I mean, I love that's one of my favorite shots in the special editions is the extended cut where you can actually see the Slave One. Mm-hmm. And I love how they like go back and change the sound too to the
right.
Slave One because that's such a cool sound.
Right.
Like that scene is really cool, but then you're like. How does Han not see this?
I've always thought the same thing. You're a little close there, aren't you, Boba?
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I thought that.
He's practically tailgating him.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was like,
that
really?
That was hard to explain. I mean, either Han and them, they were in the garbage, so they shut everything down just so they couldn't be detected, and maybe they shut off all of their, you know, ways of tracking somebody or being notified that someone's there, some kind of alert. So maybe that's what it was.
Possible.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'm sure Boba has, you know, with him being a bounty hunter, he had the equipment to, you know, jam their sensors from seeing him. But still,
that's way
too close.
Right.
Right. Well, that's exactly what we're getting into, Carl. Let me just do one more before you leave. One more.
Okay.
Let's
okay.
Do this one. Here's what I'm talking about, a plot hole. Let's talk about Return of the Jedi and Luke and Leia. Check this out.
Leia. Do you remember your mother? Your real mother?
Just a little bit. She died when I was very young.
What do you remember?
Just images, really. Feelings.
Tell me.
She was very beautiful, kind, but sad. Why are you asking me this?
I have no memory of my mother. I never knew her.
Luke, tell me, what's troubling you?
So, Carl, how in the world
Vader.
Does Leia remember her mother when her mother dies in childbirth? Now, let's try to answer this question. I know this is one of those questions that everybody asks. Do you have an answer for that?
Jason and I have discussed this a couple of times on Wampler.
Okay.
And
my
immediate response is bad writing. I mean, George Lucas, come on, dude. These are your stories. How did you screw this point up? I like Jason's answer more, so I'm going to kind of steal it.
Okay.
And it's kind of mine as well, but I think it's two parts. One, you know, some people say like, oh, it's the special mother-daughter bond, but it's like, okay, so that's kind of a rejection of Luke. But I think also because of the fact that Bail was such good friends with Padme, it's probable that, you know, they had pictures of Padme around the house
right.
or something, or they spoke about her enough
right.
that she just grew up with a sense of what her mother was like, and she kind of ingrained that in the sense of, like, these are memories I have of her, even though she never physically met her.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. I mean, again, there's no good answer. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, here's the thing. Like, it's funny that Luke was the first one born, so he actually had more time out of the womb than Leia did. But Leia's the one, you know, Luke says, I have no memory. And then Leia's the one that says, yeah, I got a couple of memories or whatever, you know, thoughts, feelings. I think that's where he's getting it, is the thoughts and the feelings, maybe stuff in the womb. You know, they always talk about how, you know, you put music on the womb and the baby, you know, play Mozart when the baby's in the womb and they'll come out smart or something crazy like that. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that, like talking to her, to Luke and Leia while they're in the womb or something. That's the only other thing I can think of, you know? And then, of course, a lot of people talk about the Force, like there's some kind of a Force connection there between Leia and Luke. But why wouldn't Luke have it, you know? So I don't know. I'd just go with, I don't know, maybe the womb thing. I don't know. Chris, can you help me out with this?
Yeah,
this is a little hard to explain.
This has come up before, and I've answered it before. And to what Carl said, that mother-daughter bond, that, well, that don't make any sense to me. Because like you said, Luke would have the same thing. Same thing with the Force connection. Luke would have it as well.
Right.
I just, basically the same thing, similar to what Carl said. This had come up before, and I said the same thing. I said Bail being such close friends with her.
Right.
I think that Bail and his wife showed her holograms of her when she was very little.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And had pictures.
Good point.
And stuff. I just always, that just was natural to me because they used holograms back then. We saw it. We saw it in the prequels. I just always assumed that that's what she... That's what Bail did to show her who her real mother was and give her the sense of... Because to me, that's where Leia gets her steadfast and her strength from, is knowing Bail and getting to see what her mother actually was like at a really early age. And Luke not having any of that and him being completely different in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I always took it.
That's a good point. I think that's probably the most legitimate answer I can think of, and especially since Luke, they wanted, you know, Owen and Beru, they wanted nothing to do with the Skywalkers or anything like that. And this will be another plot point we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, that's actually a pretty good one. I like that one about the holograms and them talking about Leia. So that's a good one. Carl, you got a jet, though. You got to get out of here, man. Thanks for coming
on,
though.
Guys, I'm sorry. I wish I could stay longer.
Yeah, you'll get the rest. You'll hear the rest of it.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, talk about your two podcasts before you go. You got a couple you want to plug real quick.
Yeah. So obviously, the Star Wars one is Wampa's Lair, which is literally, I mean, it's kind of a
you can go ahead
offshoot
and say
of you guys, really.
Go ahead and say it.
We love it.
We just did our 70th episode almost a month ago now, so we're almost caught up to you guys again.
Right on.
But I do it with my buddy Jason, who we all hung out together at Fan Days a couple of years ago. We kind of just talk, as you like to call it, Matt, the wars. That's right. We just talk story points, kind of what we're doing right now. I mean, that's what I loved about your podcast from the get-go.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've never checked us out, please check us out. You can look, you know, find us on iTunes, just under Wampa's Lair Podcast. We're also obviously part of the Star Wars Report family. Those wonderful people. So StarWarsReport.com. You can find us on there, and then we got a Facebook page, facebook.com/Wampa's Lair Podcast, and then twitter.com/Wampa's Lair, all that good stuff. And I started a new podcast with our buddy Steve Glosson from Geek Out Loud.
Yeah.
It's called Know What I'm Saying. It's kind of an expression that comes from our experiences at C6 last summer. Steve and I just bonded really, really well, really quickly. We kind of adopted our Seinfeld philosophy. It's a show about nothing.
Right on.
We just kind of talk random stuff.
Steve
is hilarious. And I'm not that funny, but he brings some funniness out of me. So it's just a great show. I mean, if you like somebody who laughs really well, just listen to Know What I'm Saying.
Right.
And you can find that on iTunes as well under Know What I'm Saying. We also are on Facebook, facebook.com/knowwhatimsaying, no G. So it's been a good time. I love being on here. I wish I didn't have to go. I love being on the show with you guys. You guys continue to impress me. I mean, you guys are the only show I still listen to regularly. And that's not
nice.
That's not a knock on anybody else. I mean, there's so many great Star Wars shows.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
I just don't listen to them as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I always check out Sarlacc. I mean, you guys are legit. You're where it's at, so I love it. It's my favorite podcast by far. So
appreciate the love, my friend.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for having me. It was a great time, as always.
Check out the rest of the plot holes, though.
I know. I will. Yeah. I will. Dang it! I'm so pissed. Man. If I wasn't about to get on the T, I would at least like call you on Skype on my phone, but I'm going to be underground, so I won't have any service.
No problem.
But, anyway, Chris, it's always great to hear that rich, warm Southern voice, my friend.
Thank you.
I feel like I have to step out into the cold, which is literally true, but anyway, guys, thanks so much for having me. It's always a blast.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later, man. Sure.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
All right, Chris. Hey, let's continue on here. We got some more. Let's go to, here's a funny one. Here's a funny one. It's kind of a pretty big plot hole, but I think I can explain this. So check it out.
It looks like the sand people did this all right. Look, there's gaffy sticks, bantha tracks. It's just, I've never heard of them hitting anything this big before.
They didn't, but we are meant to think they did. These tracks are side by side. Sand people always ride single file to hide their numbers.
These are the same Jawas that sold us R2 and 3PO.
And these blast points, too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
But why would Imperial troops want to solder Jawas?
Well, you know, Chris, we talked about this one before. And it's kind of a funny one now that you think about it, because the stormtroopers were not precise at all. Did they hit anything in the original trilogy? I think they did. Yeah, they did hit Han once, but I think it was more of a luck shot than anything else. But it's just a funny line we get from Obi-Wan. He's talking about the stormtroopers, and when you first see this, you're like, oh wow, the stormtroopers are, you know, there's precise shots, and they're the military, and they're the Empire, and they're dead shots, but they really weren't that good of a shot. Now they came from, here's the thing. Now how do you explain that? How do you go say that they're crack shots, but they really don't do any damage? Well, we have the prequel trilogy that brought along the clone troopers that were a clone of Jango Fett, one of the most feared bounty hunters in the galaxy, and obviously expert at weapons and fighting and all that. And we've learned now lately from Lucas that they kind of go away from the clones. And funny enough, from George, he says that they became too much of free thinkers. And we saw some of that writing in the Clone Wars. And they wanted to get the Empire, that is. They wanted people to just, you know, serve the Empire, not be clones, you know, not draw from clones, just people that are dedicated to the ideology of the Empire. And that's where we started getting the stormtroopers. And maybe that's where we started getting the lack of skill and the weapons and tactics and all that from the stormtroopers. So kind of a funny line. What do you think? We've talked about this, like I said before, Chris.
Yeah,
that kind of makes
some good sense. Mm-hmm.
Try to explain it.
We knew Han, you know, he went to the Imperial Academy, so you knew that there were recruits.
Right.
You know, they didn't do too bad of a job when they came on the blockade runner, which, you know, a small hallway, how could you miss? And you think about it, how could they miss a big sandcrawler like that? But
right.
I kind of think that pretty well explains it away. I mean, perfectly, because you're right, they started taking recruits, and you can't see too well out of them helmets anyway, so I think that has something to do with it.
Hey, they bump their heads all the time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. The next one we'll talk about is The Empire Strikes Back, and again, involving Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Boom! Ben, you will go to the Dagobah system. Dagobah system. There you will learn from Yoda, the Jedi Master who instructed me. Ben.
All right, Chris. So we've seen in the Clone Wars, or not in the Clone Wars, we saw in the prequel trilogy that, yeah, Yoda does train. He trains when they're very, very young. But they get passed on to a Jedi Knight or a Jedi Master to basically bring him up. I mean, we saw Anakin get given to Obi-Wan, around 8 years old, 9 years old. So how do you figure, how do you explain this one? I can explain it,
so go ahead.
I think I know where you're going to go, and this one's not, I guess, too hard to explain. And again, a lot of these potholes that we're talking about today, guys, is maybe some that aren't, some people that listen, maybe they have questions like this. I've seen these on forums a lot. Mm-hmm. It comes across a lot. People have questions about these type of potholes. But Chris, what do you have? How can you explain this particular one where Obi-Wan says, he was trained by Yoda, but we see Yoda do just the initial stuff. Is that what he's talking about?
This is kind of how I always took it. Yes, Yoda does train the younglings like he was. He had, you know, classes and whatnot. And various Jedi had classes, apparently. And I always took it as Yoda was head of the council. So therefore, he trained everybody, period. He was the head person, even though that they were matched off with, you know, with Obi-Wan, even though he was matched off with Qui-Gon, Master Yoda was still their master. So in a sense, yeah, you know, in a certain point of view, he was training him.
Right.
That's kind of how I always took it.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. It was from Obi-Wan, it's more of a generalized term, like, you know, everybody gets trained. As we see, you know, everybody kind of starts off with Yoda. I mean, he's the one that starts you off when you're young, builds the base, and then you get sent off to a master or Jedi Knight who's going to fine-tune you, who's going to polish you up, he's going to get you ready for the trial. Yes. So it's one of those things that, yeah, you can explain it. You know, obviously,
and you know,
kind of, go ahead.
I was going to say, and with Luke, it was kind of the reverse because Obi-Wan kind of started the training, you know, in Star Wars and whatnot.
Right.
And then he had to go to Yoda for Yoda to put him through the ringer.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's one of those ones that you can kind of, it's not too hard to answer. And there could be some different views on that, but that's kind of like the general consensus that, you know, Yoda starts him off,
yeah,
builds the base.
But like you said, you know, I see people post things up on Facebook. In fact, somebody posted up something on our classic page today asking, he asked me, or us, the question of, well, why, I never really understood, can you help me out, why Obi-Wan disappears when Darth Vader kills him, but yet Darth Maul, he gets cut in half and he falls away in two pieces. So I explained it to him.
Okay.
You know, this is just people that, they're not diehards like we do. You know, we're not discussing on the show. They don't sit on Facebook all day, have their own page and this, that, and the other. You know, there are a lot of people out there that, like you said, probably listening to this show that love the movies and watch the movies. And like you said, they have some of these same questions and they can't really explain it away to where they're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that's what we can kind of give them some insights to what we've thought about, you know, what we've come up with.
Right.
So.
No, that's good. That's good. That's another reason why I wanted to do this show, just in case there's, just to give our opinion, and I know there's tons of opinions out there, but yeah, this is it. That's what we're here for. That's what we want to do, is hopefully answer some questions. Hey, here's one that this one was put on a forum, and I can understand where they're going with this. And this is basically about Palpatine, and the post was, why did Palpatine want to turn Luke when it would ultimately lead to his death?
What is thy bidding, my master?
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
I have felt it.
We have a new enemy. The young rebel who destroyed the Death Star. I have no doubt this boy is the offspring of Anakin Skywalker.
How is that possible?
Search your feelings, Lord Vader. You will know it to be true. He could destroy us.
He's just a boy. Obi-Wan can no longer help him.
The Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi.
If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally.
Yes, he would be a great asset. Can it be done?
He will join us or die, Master.
Okay, Chris, so here's where we're going with this one. And like I said, this was posted by somebody else, and here's what they're saying. So on the face of it, Palpatine's plan in Return of the Jedi makes a lot of sense. You're going to trick the rebels into an ambush, turn Luke to the dark side, and then everything's good. So the plan to turn Luke into a Sith was the main drive of both Empire and Return of the Jedi. At the end of the battle on Cloud City, Vader not only reveals his identity to Luke, but also his plan for them to overthrow the Emperor with him. And unlike his plan in, you know, just like kind of like his plan in Return, Revenge of the Sith with Padme. From what we've learned from the Sith, this is a natural thing to happen, and no one should know this better than Palpatine. The general rule with Sith is that the apprentices do eventually kill their master, just like Sidious did when with Darth Plagueis. So basically, what this guy is saying, Chris, is, I don't know if it's a plot hole or just an inconsistency or just a general question. You know, why would Palpatine try to do this to Luke when he knows, he should know that Vader, as an apprentice, is eventually going to try to overthrow him, just like Palpatine did with Plagueis? Why would he want Vader to go after Luke and try to turn him? Why not just kill him? And this is where this is the question that's being posed. And yeah, that's a good question. Why would he do that? I think that Palpatine is just so, at this point, he's got the galaxy in his hand. He's just so powerful. I don't think that he thinks anybody can overthrow him, even though he did it to his master, you know, and so he's going to go after Vader. He's going to say, Vader, go after Luke, turn him. I'm not even scared of you guys trying to come get me, because I know I can beat both of you. I don't even need my lightsaber. I can just use my Force lightning. I know I can beat you. So I think that's where this question can be answered, is he is just not afraid of them. He's not afraid of anybody overthrowing him, even though that is the general rule of Sith, is, you know, you got the one that has the power and the one that craves it and ultimately gets it one way or another. So like I said, Chris, this is one of those ones that came up in a forum, and that's kind of how I answered. Yeah. Any problems with that?
When I was first reading what you sent me, I was like, what? It didn't make much sense.
Right, it does. But it's a little hard to make sense of.
Yeah, but I don't really want to say inconsistency. To me, this was answered in Return of the Jedi. We know that Vader, obviously, he did it in Episode 3 as well. We can overthrow him. He does the same thing with Luke. We can overthrow him in Empire. We can rule the galaxy. But when Vader is talking to Palpatine in Empire, Palpatine is saying he must die. But then once Vader starts talking about, well, he'd be a powerful ally, yeah, that could kind of sound inconsistent with what Palpatine says. But I look at it, Vader is looking to get Luke to overthrow the Emperor. The Emperor is not thinking like that, because in Return of the Jedi, once they get into that point, he pushes Luke, and he tells Luke, give in to your anger, and kill and destroy Vader, and take your place at my side. Mm-hmm. So Palpatine is thinking, he's the top dog, and he's got two apprentices fighting over each other, and whoever wins will be my apprentice. That's what Palpatine's looking at. He's not even seeing the overthrowing part, or if he sees it, he thinks he's got it all handled.
Right, exactly. He's just super confident, and I think like you said.
But then when Luke stood up to him, and, you know, you could see it in his face, he said, I'm a Jedi like my father. He's like, okay, well, fine. Then now I have to kill you.
Right.
So that's kind of how I see it, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen from the Clone Wars that there's definitely more than just a master and an apprentice. I mean, there's these dark Jedi roaming around, these, you know, it's it's not as black and white as it may seem. So I think that's a great way to explain that particular one. Here's one that I don't have any audio, but it's just another question that came up from somebody else. Why did Obi-Wan age so rapidly in just 20 years? So that's, we've heard that one before. You know, you saw what Ewan McGregor in Revenge of the Sith. And then all of a sudden, 19, 20 years later, he looks like he does with Al Guinness. And, most of the time, most people just say, hey, he was in Tatooine. You know, it's a desert planet. It just aged him quicker than he would have being on Coruscant. I mean, what do you think, Chris? How does he age so rapidly? How does that happen?
That's actually makes some sense. But other than that, I've tried not to think about it. That's one of those things that you really can't explain.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's just those. It's the twin sons of Tatooine, man. They're just painful, you know. You can't, you know. You see what the sand people? They run around and fully covered up. So that could be one of the reasons there.
Yeah.
Chris, I know you had one too. What was that one you had?
The one that I had has to do with the Death Star.
Okay.
Now we go to the end of Revenge of the Sith, and we see the skeleton of the Death Star being started. Now we all know. Well, I won't say we all know, but George Lucas mentions this, and he said literally he threw that in there just for us fanboys. And he said he knew that it wouldn't take, this would never be there at that point because 19 years later is when the Death Star was new. And he just said, there's labor disputes or whatever, something funny like that. But he literally put that in just for us fanboys. But for me, that's kind of a big plot hole because... If you look at it this way, I don't have any audio, but when we get into the radio dramas about Star Wars, the Rebel spies just discover this new battle station called the Death Star right at the beginning of the Star Wars movie, which is 19 years after we saw the skeleton. Now, there's no way that it took that long to build it. There's no way that they kept it hidden for 15 years or... however long it took them to build it and then hide it. There's no way that was hidden for that long, considering that the second Death Star was built between episode 5 and 6, which is just 4 years time, and it's twice as big as the first Death Star. So that is a huge plot hole that you literally cannot explain.
That is a tough one. I mean, how do you hide a Death Star? And,
you can't say it's going to take 19 years to make because they made the second one twice as big in 4 years.
Right.
So.
But could they have been making that second one at the same time?
Good point.
Or roughly after. I'm reminded of a movie called Contact with Jodie Foster where it was about this machine they make, right? That's these plans that come down from whatever. And they make this machine. Somebody sabotages it and ends up blowing it up. But what nobody knows is secretly they're building a second one just in case in another location. So I've always kind of thought about that. Like, well, maybe that's what they did. Maybe they started building Death Star 1. And then, a year or two later or whenever, they just said, hey, let's start building another one. And
it made it twice as big. That's very plausible.
Right, right. But yeah, you're right though. How do you hide something like that in the galaxy? You know, the galaxy is a huge place. Maybe find a way to hide it somehow. I mean, it is, like I said, it is a big place and there can't be places to hide. So.
True. They could find a backwater planet like Tatooine that nobody ever goes to hide it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point.
So yeah, I know that's a good question though. I like that one. That was a good one. Here's actually another funny one. Not a funny one, but one that's a little harder to explain. This is I'm going to take you to the Revenge of the Sith and Anakin and Obi-Wan.
It's over, Anakin. I have the high ground.
You underestimate my power.
Don't try it.
All right, Chris, so you hear that Obi-Wan, he has the high ground, correct? Mm-hmm. He basically telling Anakin, you know, there's no way you're going to be able to defeat me now because, you know, you're low. He talks about this quote-unquote high ground, some kind of a tactic. So how in the world was Obi-Wan able to defeat Darth Maul when it's pretty clear that Darth Maul had the quote-unquote high ground, wouldn't you say? How has that happened? Well, my only thing to this was, my only answer to this was, obviously Maul underestimated Obi-Wan Kenobi. He didn't think there was any way that he was going to be able to get out of there. You know, he didn't have a lightsaber on him. Basically, just an overall underestimation from Darth Maul. And I don't think Obi-Wan did that with Anakin. I think he knew that Anakin was better than him, found the high ground, knew he had a tactical advantage there. And, you know, if Anakin was so bold as to try it, he knew he was going to be able to beat him. I don't think he thought that Anakin was going to try that. So I think it's just overconfidence in Darth Maul and himself and underestimating Obi-Wan Kenobi. What do you think? This is kind of funny how, you know, he has the high ground in that particular scene.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chris?
When I first read this, I was like, wow, this whoever did this is really, really thinking way into these films.
yes.
But I think what you said makes perfect sense. Yeah, Darth Maul completely overestimated Obi-Wan because he wasn't even a Jedi Knight. I mean, he was a Jedi Knight. He wasn't a master or anything. And like you said, he had no lightsaber. The part that really, to me, kind of a plot hole there is why would Darth Maul freeze so, like he did, in such shock? And Obi-Wan knew after fighting Anakin that Anakin was lost, that he wasn't thinking straight, that he was full of anger, he wasn't calm, that he was extremely overconfident, and Obi-Wan wasn't. Obi-Wan was calm and collected, and he had his wits about him, and he was right. He had the higher ground, and he had the advantage. And, you know, I think you explained it pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's the only thing I can think of. And it sounds good. You know, like I said, you know, the Sith do overestimate sometimes, and I think that's a very plausible reason for that. Here's one that is a big one, Chris.
Uh-oh.
And I know we've talked about this before. Why did, and a lot of people talk about it, and they'll continue to talk about it until the end of time, you know, why did Anakin revert back to his 22-year-old self as a Force ghost in Return of the Jedi? Of course, this is brought on by these special editions.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of debate on this particular one, both pro and con for this particular change. And it's going to be that for a long time. You know, whether, I know Carl is in the camp that he hates this change, and I don't think there's anything that you can say that's going to change him, his opinion on that. And there's a lot of people like that. And there's some that, like myself, it doesn't really bother me. You know, I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to tie the trilogies together. He has his reasonings about, you know, when Anakin died or when he turned to Darth Vader, that's when he quote unquote died. And when he came back, that's what you see in Return of the Jedi. Any new thoughts on this, Chris?
Well, you know, I post this exact same picture up. I have a picture.
Yes, right, you did. I just want to mention that before you go on. We had like over 1,000 responses, and this is what I'm talking about. You know, this is one of those hot topics, but go ahead, Chris.
I posted that a few days ago, and it ended up going over 2,000 comments, which just blew me away. We've never had a picture or anything get that kind of a response. And it, you know, it was a cut picture. You had the original version, and then underneath you had the prequel version in the same picture. And, you know, I've changed my mind on this over the years, because I remember when I went and saw it the first time, the special edition, and when I saw the young Anakin, I was like, yes, that's perfect. That is when Anakin was last good. That's why he went back to young. But over the years, I forget or had forgotten that Vader already turned. I mean, he just didn't turn right before. He turned when he picked up the Emperor. And he was turned. He was back to his old self. He was battling back and forth inside of himself earlier with Luke when they had that little that great conversation after Luke turns himself in. And when he picked up the Emperor, he had turned back because he was saving his son. And the talk that they had on the landing platform before he dies, I mean, in the landing platform area there. I mean, so yeah, when he died, he should have stayed the hologram as he originally was. I think George did make that comment that that's when he was last good, but I just kind of think, that's kind of where George kind of made a mistake, kind of like the Han shot first.
You know. It's one of those that he's not going to admit to.
Right. And,
or, yeah.
You know, I did like it at first, but then over the years, I'm like, no, as I look at the whole thing again for many years, I realize I was wrong, and it should have been the old Sebastian Shaw should have been left in there.
Well, it's funny, too, because the clothes he's wearing, you know, that's not what he wore. You know, he was more into the dark stuff, the dark clothing.
Exactly.
And in that shot, he's got the traditional, you know, Tanner robes. And I don't know if I'm assuming that they just superimposed his head onto Shaw's body. I don't know.
I think they reshot him.
You think they reshot him?
Yeah,
okay.
With it on there. But you're right. I never thought of that. He always had the darker blacks and dark browns in it. And
right. So, you know, yeah, that was kind of a continuity error, maybe. I don't know. It's just one of those weird ones. Like you said, Chris. It's
Yoda.
Just,
I mean, Obi-Wan was dressed the way he was. Yoda was dressed the way he was.
Right.
He didn't have on brown robes or anything. He had on his normal, what he always had on.
Right.
So that's a good point. But when it was originally done, that's just what you would have had it seen. You know, we thought that Obi-Wan, that's what a Jedi looked like.
Mm.
But then, like you said, once we get to the prequels, we start seeing, look at Qui-Gon wearing all light tan.
Right.
And same thing with Obi-Wan when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I know. That's one of those ones. Like you said, we got 2,000 comments on the Classic Star Wars page. So one of those ones that's going to be hotly debated for a long time.
Yes.
I just got a couple more left here. Let's go to here's another one that was, again, on a forum that I saw, and I thought it would be good to talk about. Let's listen to this.
Hidden, safe. The children must be kept.
We must take them somewhere where the Sith will not sense their presence.
Split up, they should be.
My wife and I will take the girl. We've always talked of adopting a baby girl. She will be loved with us.
And what of the boy?
To Tatooine. To his family, send him.
I will take the child and watch over him.
Until the time is right, disappear.
So here's the issue with this one. Basically, the post was, why did the Jedi hide in plain sight? And it's almost like he's answering his own question there. The problem that this person had with this one, and a question that I've seen come up many times, is here's the Jedi on the brink of extinction, and you have the offspring of Anakin. They split them up because they want to keep away from the Emperor and the Empire and Darth Vader. So you're going to hide one. Of course, they did a good job with Leia. Give her to give her to Bail, and they're going to hide over there on Alderaan and Peaceful Planet and all that. That's fine. But you take Luke, and you give him to Owen and Brue Larson, who Darth Vader knows this is his home planet, and you let him keep his last name Skywalker? How is that hiding him? You know what I mean? And you know, that's kind of a good point. You know, that's kind of weird. How do we explain this one? This is kind of a plot hole. How do you explain this particular plot hole? Well, there it is in the title, you know. Was it just so crazy that Darth Vader would never think to go back to his home planet to when he ultimately finds out that there's another Skywalker out there, when the Emperor tells him, hey, there's another Skywalker, or when he senses it? You know, is it just the fact that they're just banking on him not ever going back to Tatooine because there's so much bad memories and vibes from Tatooine, that he's never going to go back there, that he would never think that the Jedi would hide. I don't know. I mean, I can't even, that's the only thing I can think of. I mean, this is a tough one. This is a tough plot hole to try to answer. I don't know. Can you help me out, Chris? Can anybody out there
that's
help
exactly
me out?
What I say. I mean, that's exactly how I explain it away. To me, I think Leia, in a way, is in more danger than Luke because she's brought up in, you know, he's
and
a senator.
A senator, yeah.
And, you know, the Palpatine, I would think, could possibly pick up on that. Although they're in the Empire now, so it's it's a lot different than where Bail was before. So, but, you know, the funny thing is, you know, people say that Ben Kenobi, he never changed his name. Well, how do we know he didn't change his name? Mm-hmm. Luke called him that in episode 4. You never heard anybody else come up and say, hey, Kenobi. So we don't know what he was going by. Now, that book, Kenobi might shed a little bit on that as far as the name. And, yeah, now who, I mean, yeah, Luke went by Skywalker because he wasn't them, but I think it's, that's exactly the point, is Vader hated Tatooine. He hated it, and Obi-Wan knew this, and he said it in the Clone Wars many times. He hated it, he despised it, he wished he could destroy it. And actually, this kind of adds to the plot hole of the Death Star, because you think as soon as that thing was built, Vader would want to go and destroy that planet. Because he hated it so much, because that's where he was, you know, in slavery.
Right, and right.
So, mother, yeah,
died.
I think he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Faking the fact that he's not going to come back to that planet. Now, we know he did in right before in the radio dramas he was down on the planet. So, you know, but I think that's exactly, that explains it right
there.
Yeah,
that's a tough one, like I said. Yeah, there's not much you can say about that one. I mean, you know, here's Obi-Wan going around as Ben, which he changed his name, but he's still in his Jedi robes.
And
you know, they're being hunted at this time. So, I don't know.
And also, another thing, wouldn't you think that if Darth Vader came down onto the planet that Obi-Wan would feel it? And then he could go and he would do something to hide Luke, distract Vader, something.
Yeah, right.
I think he would feel it.
Yeah, it's just tough because, you know, Anakin / Vader, he's been here. He obviously knows Owen and Beru. He knows where they live, and it's just really tough. And what else can you say? But maybe he just hated it so much that he don't want to go back
there. Like you said, though, he does. He hates it. He does not want to go back there. It's the memory. Why would he want to go back to the Lars homestead? Because that's where he buried his mother.
Right. Right. So that's another one. Couple more. Here's a funny one, and this is actually in the very beginning of Star Wars, and it's just, like I said, one of those funny ones.
You'll be deactivated for sure. Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come out before somebody sees you. Secret mission? What plans? What are you talking about? I'm not getting in bed. I'm going to regret this.
There goes another one.
Hold your fire. There's no life forms. They must have short-circuited.
That's funny. The damage doesn't look as bad from out here. Are you sure this thing is safe?
So, again, not necessarily a plot hole, but just one of those moments, the question like, why let the escape pod go and not blow it up if there's no life forms? And, of course, the incredulous decision of a Star Destroyer commander to let an escape pod go during the middle of a battle to locate blueprints from the Rebel Alliance, you know, and escape pods apparently are going out because people are trying to escape and they're blowing them up. But here's one where it's just, the only reasonable explanation is the officer, hey, he's a rebel sympathizer. He has to be. I mean, why else would he not blow up an empty escape pod? Why not? Just blow it up for the heck of it. You know, there's no reason not to. Maybe he's just saying, I've heard people say, well, they don't want to, you know, use too much ammunition or something like that. Some crazy stuff like that, right? But it's just, it's got to be that he's just like, well, there's really no reason, you know, why cause more damage. Just let it go. Let it fall to Tatooine, and it'll land and disintegrate sooner or later. But just one of those funny ones, you know, like the whole story of Star Wars could have ended, you know, had they just blown that up. You know, the Rebels don't have the plans to the Death Star and everything's changed.
That explains it away right there. You know, it would have been a 20-minute movie and that would have been it. I mean, you know, it's perfect. Makes perfect sense. I mean, what are you trying to save, a laser bolt? I mean, come on. It's energy. It's not like a bullet.
Yeah.
And you're right. You think about it, it's ludicrous because they're going to get electronic data. So you know, they could just put it aboard, they could throw it aboard, it doesn't have to have a human in there for it to go down to the planet. So, that one is kind of like, oh well.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, here's another one. Why R2-D2 in the prequel trilogy, he's got rocket boosters, you know, he flies around, but then we never see him use it in the original trilogy. What's going on? How could that be possible? Well, quite literally, it's just one of those things that you chalk up to, you know, they had the technology to do that in the prequel trilogy, and they didn't in the original trilogy. And how do you retcon it? Well, you just say R2 didn't need to use his rockets in the original trilogy. He probably did, but according to him, he didn't, right?
And, you know,
so
Lucasfilm actually,
what else are you going to say?
Yeah, Lucasfilm actually retconned that by saying, well, he's a droid, and he has interchangeable parts. So therefore,
so he just changed them out. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That you know, his parts over time gets changed out for certain other things. So,
yeah.
Well,
there you go. Very simple answer to that one. I like that. Easy.
Although it would really it would have come in quite a bit more handy, I think, in the original trilogy.
Yeah, there's definitely times where you're like, wow, he could use the jets right there. But yeah, let's go to, this is the last one that I have, and it's really kind of a big one, kind of one that really gets under my skin sometimes when I see this, because it's really tough. But let's go to Padme and the birth of the twins.
Medically, she's perfectly healthy. For reasons we can't explain, we are losing her.
She's dying.
We don't know why. She has lost the will to live. We need to operate quickly if we are to save the babies.
Babies?
She's carrying twins.
He saved her, or I do.
It's a girl.
Obi-Wan. There's quite a name. I know this. Still.
And we get the death of Padme Amidala, and one that I've really struggled with, and I have for a long time, Chris, because here's on the surface. I mean, anybody that, you know, especially mothers, we talked about the special bond they have with their kids, and any parent knows, and any mother, if you're listening, you know, there's certain things that you're going to fight for, even in the face of death. And for a mother to lose the will to live when she has just had two babies, I just can't imagine that. It just doesn't make sense to me. And again, I don't know if this is a plot hole or just one of those questions I have. Like, this just doesn't make sense. You know, how could she do that? You know, how does she die? And I don't know. It's just one that's always bothered me. And probably the biggest thing in my book that kind of bothers me is that she could die like this. And I know that, you know, why couldn't she have lived for a little while and just succumbed to some other form of, like, medical issue that they couldn't fix? And then she has some time to spend with Leia, thereby relieving the plot hole of Leia not remembering her mother. As opposed to this, where she, you know, it would have tied things a little better. I don't know how they could have done it. I mean, I'm just kind of spitballing it here. Like, as far as Padme living a little longer, Chris, but it's always been the one that bugged me because I know that a mother would fight and do anything to try to survive and not succumb to, because the robot says she just loses, there's no medically, there's nothing wrong with her. You know, there's nothing medically wrong with her. She just lost the will to live. And it was because of, was it because of Anakin? Yeah, of course, you know, she lost Anakin. But, you know, wouldn't the thought of having two babies and trying to raise them up and do the right thing, wouldn't that give you some kind of will? And a lot of people, Chris, hate this one right here. They just hate that Padme dies because she lost the will to live. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. I can't figure it out. What do you think?
Making sense, well, that's kind of a certain point of view, but
yeah,
I agree. I mean, I don't have kids, but I look at it this way. I had Luke for many years, and I just imagine how I felt about him, so I could just imagine what it would be like for having an actual child. From what I've always understood, it, once that child's born, it's no longer about yourself, it's about the child. So,
right. Yeah, good point.
I mean, she just, I think the bottom line is George had to or wanted to desperately to tie up the loose ends from the other trilogy on the screen.
Right.
Now, how would the fanboys react if he did do what you're talking about? The twins are born, and then we don't see her die, and you don't see the twins go off. You know, the movie ends, and you know that shortly she does die. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, a medical, you know, she has this or whatever, and then the movie ends. Well, yeah, she'll die in a few months, and then the twins are separated. Yeah, how would Star Wars fans have taken that? I mean, not seeing it on the screen. I just kind of think George kind of put himself in a situation where he had to have it on screen, and this was his best logical, and him being a man, I think it was easier for him to go to this conclusion than, yeah, no woman would ever do this. But, you know, he's not a woman. She died of a broken heart. That's basically what had happened. She was so devastated.
Right.
And I think part of it, too, was, oh, my gosh, how am I supposed to take care of these kids when the love of my life just went to the dark side? Not just left her, but went to the dark side. And the entire galaxy... it's turned up on its end. So,
right.
I mean, to me, it's a story, so I kind of just, that's how it goes. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. No mother is going to do that. That's just inconceivable unless she's just a piece of crap and just, you know, there are mothers out there, shockingly enough, that will do something like that, but they're not mothers. They're just, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think you're right, Chris. I think you said something about, basically you're saying that Lucas... he just tried to tie up too many of the loose ends. You know what I mean? He just tried to he wanted to wrap everything up so well that he did he really need to do this? I don't know, because you're talking about Padme, who was in the Senate. She was a queen, strong-willed, you know, a fighter. We've seen her with a gun. I mean, emotional fighter, you know, physical fighter. And you're going to tell me she dies of the will to live? I just, you know, like you say, it's just one of those loose ends that maybe we didn't need to be tied. It didn't need to be tied up. Or she has the kids, and like I said earlier, she dies of whatever illness or whatever it is, and she realizes that before that she does need to separate the twins just to be on the safe side. And, you know, so there's tons of ways. There's ways you could have done it, but it's just, I think it's just one of those that you're never going to explain that particular plot hole. It's just too many loose ends were tried to be tied up,
but you know,
at the end of the bench.
But
you just have to live with it.
I think George might have overthought this one. You know, maybe he thought along too long about it, but I mean, she could have literally died right there in childbirth. I mean, she could have had complications of having women
exactly.
Unexpectedly start hemorrhaging sometimes when that happens, and it's either the baby or them. You know, there are those situations. Hello, why couldn't it have been, you know, like that?
Right. That's a little easier to explain than A Will to Live. I think a lot of people would have been fine with a medical issue on the table there after the kids were born, and just there's no way, and that's happened before.
To make it even easier, have the droid not say about her, there's nothing medically wrong. Just say, she's having twins, but we're losing her in birth. Hello? Done.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy one to tie up, but that's just one of those ones you're just going to have to kind of deal with and live with, and I don't know.
Because that one, as far as I know, has never been retconned.
No. That'd be tough. So that's you got any more, Chris, you want to talk about? Kind of the last one I had. I know there's probably more that the listeners might be thinking of, but hopefully we answered some of the questions, some of the plot holes, some of the inconsistencies or overall questions you had or or that you've ever thought of. We hope we kind of shed a little bit of light and some we couldn't answer, like this last one. So that's going to be it for this week or for this, actually, this year.
Yes.
This year. This is the last one. We got the holidays coming up. We hope you guys have a great, great holiday. Obviously, the Sarlacc Pit will be back in January. We got some contests that I want to start doing.
Oh, good.
Some other things, but we got to tell everybody about where to find us, Chris.
Yes, you can catch us at go to galacticbinder.com and then click on the Sarlacc Pit tab, and there you can download directly to your computer, or you can listen to it right there on the page, or you can simply go to iTunes and have us download automatically anytime you want to hear us. Our pages, facebook.com/Sarlacc Pit Podcast, and we also have facebook.com/Classic Star Wars. That is just turned into a huge mega page that we just have a lot of fun on. And we got a few other pages that we've kind of come around that me and Mark have come up with that aren't Star Wars. We've got one, a new one called Toys from the 80s, which has turned out to be a really, really good page. And then we also have one called Amazing Heroes and Villains, which is a Marvel page, which we're just now really gotten started on. So, you know, go to facebook.com/AmazingHeroesandVillains and then Toys from the 80s. Those are two great pages you can check out that aren't Star Wars related. Although the Toys from the 80s does have Star Wars in there.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yes, yes.
I know, Matt, you'd love that page as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And, of course, the classic Star Wars page. Yeah, and like I said, don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you guys again for making us part of your Star Wars day. We will see you guys in January. And for Carl and for Chris, my name is Matt. Thanks for joining us. We will see you guys next year in the Sarlacc Pit. Man, Chris, tons of plot holes. I think we answered them all. What do you think? Hopefully Carl will check them out.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.